It is sad, but it's true, that many Christians, those that name the name of Christ, do not know how to pray. Either they don't know how to pray, or I have found that there are many times where they don't know if prayer does any good. They doubt whether or not prayer will get through to headquarters in heaven. And so they don't pray. We ask for something many times, and there are Christians who would say, "Lord, this is my request." And they don't get an answer in a day, and neither in a week. And they still don't see an answer after a month. And then years go by. Where's the answer? And they get discouraged. And the discouragement sometimes leads to a loss of enthusiasm for prayer. And before you know it, we stop communicating with God altogether. Have you ever experienced that in your life, where you get discouraged in the area of prayer? I know I have. God has had to teach me how to pray. I have seen God answer prayer. I've seen God answer prayer immediately. I've seen Him answer after a long delay. But I know that we serve a God who answers prayer. I remember when I came to this church back in 1988, seems like yesterday, came here and remember what Brother Rosado said. He said, "You're coming here, you've got a handful of people, don't expect much. We don't have much." Remember that, Mike? And the upstairs windows in the building were broken. It seemed like everyone had either it was broken or had tape over it with plastic over the tape. And it seemed like the walls were all cracked and you didn't have pews to sit on like you have right now. Neither did you have carpet in this auditorium. The baptismal tank wasn't where you see it right now. The place was totally different. A lot of things needed repair, and we did not have the money. Our offerings at that time were perhaps $400, $500 a week. And where was it going to come from? Well, I'll never forget saying, "God, you know we've got the need. And you're the provider. Please help us." And it was a short time after that prayer that I got a yellow slip from the post office who attempted to deliver a package to our church. Putting the note on my desk, it got buried. And it sat there for maybe a month or two. Usually when you don't go pick up a package, they send it into some area of unclaimed mail and there it would sit indefinitely. But eventually, I found the note and went to the post office here in Corona. When I went there, I handed them the slip. They handed me a box. The box was inside of a tear-resistant bag. The box was written to the Church with a Heart in the heart of Queens. Had our address on it, but did not have a return address. And whenever you get a package without a return address, it's scary. With all the bombings you hear about and strange packages. And so I remember getting that package and going into my office, which was actually in the basement at the time. And I carefully opened the package, not wanting to rip any wires or something that might set a device off. I opened that package and I carefully cut the box open and open it carefully. Before I did, I shook it and I listened to it. Did I hear any ticking? There was no ticking. And I opened that box, and to my dismay, I found on that first contents of the box a $100 bill. I reached down, and there's more $100 bills, and 20s, and 50s, and all kinds of big bills. Do you know that was a box with $14,000 in it? That was sent here by somebody that I have no idea who it was. Perhaps their reasons in sending it weren't even right, but God knew we needed it. And there it was, God meeting a need. I saw God's hand in answer to prayer another time. My wife had received a ride to church, I guess with the Swansons, and so Katie and I were still at home, and we left in my Volkswagen. At that time, I had a Volkswagen Beetle, 1978 Volkswagen Beetle, and I was on my way to church, and I was pulling on the Van Wyck Expressway entrance, but before I got on the entrance to the Van Wyck, my car died. You see, my fuel gauge had gone on me, and it was not reading accurately. I had run out of fuel. So there I am. It's Wednesday night. Church is going to start. I'm the preacher. I've got to get here to give the message. And there I am over there by where they built the new motor vehicle department there. You know where that area is. They didn't have that then. It was just more of an open field area at that time. And Katie and I pray, Lord, help us. Because you know we've got to get to church. I've got to preach. I'm the pastor of this church. I step out of my car, and I walk from here to the wall, and what should I find? A gas container. It was one of those red gas containers with the spout all there and gas in it. Now, what are the odds of that happening? And so I pour that gas into that car and I made it over here with no problem. I'll tell you, that is God. I've seen God do amazing things since I've been here. I've seen God do amazing things every week when I pray, Lord, I need help in preparing this sermon. You've got to help me. And God always comes through, giving me the wisdom and giving me the idea of what the people need to hear. And as we've gone through books of the Bible, I've seen God's hand in my sermon preparation all along because He granted wisdom and He gets all the glory. I have seen God give me understanding and understanding difficult portions of Scripture. I remember back in Bible college wrestling with a lot of doctrinal issues and wrestling with some passages of Scriptures. And I was praying, Lord, help me to understand what Matthew 19:9 means. A divorce passage. And I prayed over that. And I studied that. And I put in 200 hours of study. God showed me, I believe. I go to a passage like Hebrews chapter 6. Those of you who know the Bible know that that's one of the complex portions of Scripture. Hebrews 6, 1 to 6. Lord, what does this mean? And I didn't know. Before you know it, the fog cleared and God had answered my prayer. I believe that God wants to answer our prayers. God wants to glorify Himself and show Himself mighty on our behalf. But the problem is often you have not because you ask not. And often when we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our own lusts. And so we often ask out of wrong motives. But God wants to answer prayer, and God is giving us in this book of 1 John some assurances that we can have a full confidence that we'll get our prayers answered when we pray. A matter of fact, 1 John is the book of assurance. The word know, K-N-O-W, occurs over and over and over again in the book of 1 John because there are some things that God wants us to know. There are many things God wants us to know. For example, in chapter 4, in verse number 13, he says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his spirit. He says, I want you to know that you're dwelling in him and that he is dwelling in you by means of the Holy Spirit that he's given. In chapter 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may, what's the next word? Know. That you have eternal life. Not hope so, think so, maybe so, possibly so, but know so. He says, I wrote you this that you may know where you're going when you die. In chapter 5 and verse 19, and we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And we know these things. And there's many other scriptures in 1 John that use the word know. But today, I want us to see how we can know that we're going to get our prayers answered when we pray. Look there at verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now notice, and if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And so God wants to show us how we can have assurance of answers to prayer. And isn't that a good thing to have? I don't know about you, but I want to know that when I pray, I'm being heard. I don't know about you, but when I pray, I want to know that I'm going to receive that which I'm asking for. And we need to know how to connect with God and how to receive from God. And so he tells us here, this is the confidence we have in him, meaning this is the boldness that we have before him. This is the assurance that we have in front of his presence. Boy, that tells me something, that I can have access directly to him. I can have a confidence and assurance in front of him is the idea, in front of his presence. I don't have to go through a saint. I don't have to pray through Mary, who, by the way, lately, if you've been reading the news, you find that there's discussion in Catholicism as to whether or not Mary should be right up there as the fourth person of the Trinity. That's right. They're debating and they're trying to put pressure on the Pope to make the Virgin Mary the fourth person of the Trinity. So now you've got the Father, the Mother, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tell me if that's not blasphemous. Such discussion should not even be up for debate if people know the Word of God. But you see, she's been venerated for so long, and for so long she's been viewed as the Queen of Heaven. And for so long, people thought that in order to get to God, they have to go through the Mother, through Mary. And my friend, that's blasphemous. We can have a bold approach directly into the throne room before him, before his holy presence. We don't have to go through a saint or through the Virgin Mary. We can have confidence right to our God. The word confidence is made up of a word that refers to an openness of speech, a respectful yet bold free speech before God. Not one who shrinks back and cowers away from God in shame, unsure of himself and unsure of his requests. And so the word confidence denotes that freedom of speech which enables one to express our thoughts and desires before God without hesitancy and without embarrassment. We've got a bold confidence, my friend. And this is the confidence that we have in him. So often, we are like fishermen who cast out our lure just hoping that a fish may swim by at that time. And so sometimes we throw out our request just hoping maybe God will catch it. And sometimes we pray thinking maybe God is not too busy and he's going to hear this request that I'm making at this time. My friend, that's not the way it works. There is a way to receive from God. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Notice that if we ask, prayer is asking. You have not because you ask not. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you, Matthew 7:7. For everyone that asketh receiveth, Matthew 7:8. John 16:24, ask and you shall receive. James 4:2, as I said, you have not because you ask not. Jesus said in Matthew 7:11, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Luke 11:13, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? John 14:14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. My friend, in order for us to receive, we've got to ask. That's pretty basic. If we ask, and the word ask, by the way, doesn't mean demand. It's not like we're going up to God, now I demand that you do this for me. No, the word ask is used of an inferior beseeching a superior. It implies humility and respect. And he says, if we ask anything, now anything, that's a wide invitation. That's a request of a wide variety of things, and I'm sure we could think pretty big if we will ask anything. But notice the word if. If we ask anything according to his will. Do you catch that word if? You know, my friend, the if means there's a condition here. In order for you to get answers to prayer, you've got to meet a condition. If, important word. You know, in the Bible, there are some conditions to answer to prayer. Not anybody gets answers to prayer, you know. Not all requests get answered, you know. Now, there are people who would try to tell you that. That just whatever you want, just pray it, it'll get answered. No, that's not true. There are some conditions that need to be met before we will have assurance of answers to prayer. First, God answers the prayers of those that obey him. 1 John 3, in this very book, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. If you don't obey God, don't waste your breath. Because the only prayer that God wants to hear from you is, God, be merciful to me. And then after that, you could start asking God. But if you're living in disobedience to God's word, don't assume that you could boldly approach the throne and start asking God for things and get them, because you're not getting anything. God gives, God answers prayers of those that are obedient to him. That's why David said in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Another condition to answer prayer is that God answers the prayer of those who believe him. Jesus said in Matthew 11:24, therefore I say unto you, whatso things soever you desire, when you pray, here it is, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. What's the condition? You've got to believe. You've got to believe that God is able. God is not powerless. If God could create the universe, God can do anything he chooses to do. You must believe that he's able, and you must believe, as we're going to see today, that he's willing. But you need to believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. The Bible says in James 1, let not that man, the unbelieving man, think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You don't receive anything unless you believe God. Then the third condition is that God answers the prayers of those who are close to him. Listen to what Jesus said in John 15:7. You remember in that section describing how he is the vine, we are the branches, and how the branch must abide in the vine. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. There's the two ifs. He says, you need to abide in me and my words must abide in you. Then he says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What a promise. But it's conditional. You need to stay close enough to him and have his word close enough in you that you'll know what to pray for. And then your request will line up with his will. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. You see, in order for you to receive from God, you need to know the heartbeat of God. You need to be so close to God that you would know what he wants for your life. Many are quick in our text to notice the words, if we ask anything and whatsoever we ask, but they fail to see the all-important condition, according to His will. If we ask according to His will, which means if we ask according to that which would fall in line with or match up with God's desire. Harry Ironside said that by learning the mind of God, prayer becomes not the whimsical expression of our own poor minds, but it takes on a high and holy character. It is asking God what He delights to give. Do you know there are people who would pray, oh God, give me this, oh God, give me that, and they pray and pray and pray and pray. You know, I believe that God would have us pray less and pray more accurately and thoughtfully than to utter 10,000 unbiblical, unthoughtful requests. We got to think before we talk to God. What we need is a thoughtful prayer life. We need to prepare our case, as it were, and come before His presence with some solid reasons why we believe that such requests line up with His will. You don't just rush into His presence in a helter-skelter manner. Rather, you come and say, Lord, to the best of my knowledge, I believe it's Your will for such and such to happen. And then you pray. But you got to think before you pray. Jesus said in Matthew 18:19, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now that agreement is a determination that the request is God's will. It's not that we merely agree with each other. It's not Derek and I. Hey, Derek, let's get together and we agree that today we don't want it to rain. And so, Derek, since you and I agree that we don't want it to rain, let's tell God we agree that we don't want it to rain and it's not going to rain. No? No, I'm afraid not. We need to say, Derek, let's look to the Scripture. Let's see what God says in His Word. And God doesn't promise that He's not going to allow it to rain today, so we can't have such boldness in saying that we know it's not going to rain because we agreed and we prayed. Rather, we need to say, Derek, let's get together on this. Let's think about this. What Bible principles apply to this request that we're going to make? Oh, we've got Scripture on it. Good. Now we can bring it to God with confidence, knowing that God is going to hear us and answer our request. But we often pray and we don't even think before we pray. And when the answer doesn't come, we get so bitter against God. Some young girl who's a born-again Christian says, Lord, I love this guy. Please allow us to get together. And he's not even saved. He doesn't even know the Lord. And yet you're saying, let us get together. That's unbiblical. God is not going to answer that request. Prayer is not a convenient device for imposing our will on God, as John Stott said, or bending His will to ours, but it's the prescribed way of subordinating our will to His. And so every prayer that we make becomes a variation of that theme of the Bible, Thy will be done, rather than My will be done. And so praying according to the Father's will involves knowing the Father. It involves knowing what He likes, what He dislikes. It involves knowing His character. It involves knowing the principles under which He operates. It involves trying to see a situation as He sees it. It involves praying and looking at the situation from God's perspective. That is how we get answers to prayer. Jesus said in John 14:13, and whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, we often conclude our prayers in Jesus' name, amen, and we often add that as a cliche. as a religious sounding group of words that we tack on the end of our prayer that makes it sound spiritual. But do you know something? That's not its purpose. To pray in Jesus' name means to request of the Father for those things that would glorify Jesus the Son. To request those things that would exalt Jesus. Those things that would Jesus would want for our life. It is praying to the Father for those requests that the Lord would want us to pray for. When I was a young boy, my mother would ask me to go to the pharmacy and pick up something for her. Perhaps it was a prescription, perhaps it was some medication, whatever it was. I had no authority to come in my name, for I was a minor. So my mother would write out a note, she'd sign it, she'd put it in my hand, I'd bring it to the pharmacist, and I was not coming in my name, I was coming in her name. You understand? And then he would give me that which I requested, because I wasn't coming in my name. I was coming in her name. And Jesus said that when you ask in my name, he said, I will do it. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we need to realize that it's not just a cliche to be tacked on the end of our prayers. We need to understand what we're meaning. I'm coming to you on behalf of Jesus Christ in his name because this will glorify him. And I believe this is his will for my life. So I don't come to you in my name. I come to you because I belong to him. It's not that God doesn't hear us when we come to him in the sense of he's deaf. God does hear in the sense that he's omniscient, right? He hears everything. But look what it says at the end of verse 14. He says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. I stress the words heareth and hear. The implication is that if a request doesn't line up with God's will, he doesn't even hear us. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't know that a request was being made. I hope you have better theology than to believe that. God is omniscient. David said in Psalm 139, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God knows our thoughts. He knows every detail. And so it's not that he didn't know a request was being made. He's omniscient. It's that God is not going to pay any attention to it. If a person doesn't ask according to his will, that is an unworthy request that'll get no response from the Almighty. He knew you brought it, but it's not going to be answered as you want it answered. And so he says, now, if we know that he hear us, and boy, that's good to have assurance in our heart that God is giving an ear to our request, that God is paying attention to what we're telling him and asking him. And if we have such assurance, then we can know he's going to grant it in his time and in his manner. So he says, if we know that he hear us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. All we've got to do, my friend, is get him to hear us. That's it. That's the key. If we can get God to pay attention to our prayers, the Bible says, you've got it. You've got it. Now the question comes, how can we get God to listen to our prayers? Right? What does it mean to pray according to his will? Because those are the only requests he pays attention to. He does not pay any attention to any request that's outside of his will. The only requests he listens to are those that are lined up with his desire. Before I tell you how we can do that, would you notice there's something here I don't want you to miss? He says in verse 15 that we know that we have present tense, have, right now, not shall have. He doesn't say we know that we will have. It's right now. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. God gives a right now answer. Now, the tangible effect of that answer may take time in reaching us, but when God answers, when He hears and answers, He does so immediately. That's why the Bible says in Daniel 9:23, Gabriel said to Daniel, "From the first day that you set yourself to seek God, a response was made, but I was delayed in coming." But God answers immediately. Now, the effect of that answer may take some time, but I believe that we have the answers to what we're asking when we pray biblically. So effective prayer that gets answers involves in lining up our will to God's will. And so we need to pray according to God's will before we can expect Him to answer. So what does it mean to pray according to His will? That is the question today that in the next couple of moments I'm going to seek to answer. What does it mean to pray according to His will? Well, I believe this is what it means. First, praying according to God's will takes into consideration God's word or God's promises. In other words, to pray according to God's will, you need to know what God has said, what God has revealed. You need to make your request based on God's word because He gives us right things. I was reading about Daniel, and I'll never forget first reading in Daniel 9 how Daniel's seeking God. He's repenting. He's saying, "God, forgive me of my sin." But the Bible says that before he even began his prayer, he was reading in the book of Jeremiah, and he understood by the books that God was about to do something. So he set himself to pray in accordance with that prophetic message. And so based on Daniel's reading of the word, that caused him to get on his knees and talk to God about the fulfillment of a promise that God had made. Remember the 70-year captivity? Jeremiah said that after 70 years, I'm going to deliver you. And so now Daniel's saying, "Okay, Lord, Jeremiah said it's 70 years. It's now up. And so what's going to happen?" And he seeks God based on written revelation. To have an effective prayer life, it's imperative that we know God's will, and the only way we can know God's will is to know God's word. Amen. Right? Amen. Because God's in heaven, and we can't dial Him up on the phone and say, "Okay, God, what's your will?" God is invisible. We can't see Him or hear Him express it in audible terms. So God has had it written down for us. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, so controlled the minds, hearts, and wills of chosen men so that they wrote exactly and totally what God wanted written so that we could know God's will. So God inspired Scripture so that we wouldn't be left in the dark as to what His desire was for our life. I'm glad He's revealed it to us, which tells me if I need to pray according to His will, and if His will is revealed in the Bible, then that tells me there is a definite connection between prayer and reading the Bible. And you cannot have effective prayer unless you have proper Bible reading and study. The two go hand in hand. Some people say, "Well, I don't have time to read the Bible. I just pray." Forget praying. Give it up. Quit it. Your requests are probably blasphemous before God because you don't even know what to pray for unless you're in the book. Now, you have a Bible. God has given us plenty of them in this country. If you don't know your Bible, you don't know what you ought to be praying for. Because God's will is revealed in God's Word. And there is a definite connection between proper praying and proper scriptural understanding. That is why I think it's good to couple together prayer time and Bible reading. Because you can, and you have to do this before the kids wake up, before things get too crazy in the house, unless you have a quiet place to go. But you need to get out your Bible and read it, and as you read the Word, you're going to see things you need to pray about. Oh man, look at that scripture right there. I've been in disobedience. God, forgive me for that. Oh, look at that one right there. Oh, that's something I need in my life. And it's right there. Lord, that's what I need. And you pray about it. You could pray as you're reading the Bible, you see. But if you do not know the scripture, you are not going to know what to pray for. And so the Bible uses the term will or thelema to describe some very specific desires that God has for us. Let me tell you some desires. God will answer the prayer of somebody who is seeking salvation. If somebody is seeking salvation, God will answer that request. Because the Bible says it's His will that none perish. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing, there's that word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:4, God who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, tells me it's God's desire that all men come to the knowledge of the truth. And so if a person says, Lord, save my soul, is Jesus going to say, forget you, man. I'm not saving you. You're an outcast. You're unpardonable. Will Jesus ever reject somebody who calls on Him for salvation? Never. Never. Anyone who sincerely, genuinely, from the heart says, Lord, I need salvation. Save my wretched soul. Jesus said He will in no wise cast them out. All who come to Him in faith saying, Lord, I believe You can save me, He does. What a blessing to know that God answers the prayer of the penitent sinner who comes to Him and says, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. That man goes back to his house justified. God will answer the prayer of somebody who is seeking to be Spirit-filled. That's why in Ephesians 5:17, He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, what is the will of the Lord? He says that you be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's God's will that you don't be intoxicated with liquor, but it's God's will that you be controlled by His Holy Spirit. So, if you pray, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit, control me, do you think He'll answer that kind of prayer request? Better believe He will. Do you think God will answer the prayer request of the heart who's seeking to serve Him? Lord, I want to serve You. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may He make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so, He says that God is going to work in you to do His will. If it's our desire to say, God, I want to serve You, you think God's going to answer that request? Absolutely. What about this? God will answer the prayer of someone who is seeking to be sanctified. Somebody who's having problem with sexual problem in his life, and maybe it's pornography, or maybe it's a problem lusting, or maybe it's a problem with fornication. Do you believe that if that person says, Lord, I need You to deliver me from it, do you think God wants to deliver him from immorality like that? Of course. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. So it's God's will that we be sexually pure. God will answer a prayer like that. What about this? Somebody who says, God, I need joy in my life. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I think if you want joy, and you say, God, I need joy, that God's not going to give you joy. Now, let me tell you something. Joy doesn't mean happiness. Happiness depends on happenings, as Warren Wiersbe said. But joy can come, as you learned last week through Jacob Varghese's message, joy can come even in the midst of trials and tribulation. God can give you that peace despite bad circumstances. He can give joy. Ask Him for it. God will answer the prayer of His child who asks Him for food. You know, you have a child of God, somebody who's saved, and he says, God, provide for me. Do you think God's going to turn a deaf ear to that request? No. Well, then you're probably thinking, then why does God allow some people around the world to starve to death? Why are there some people that live in certain areas of the world that are starving to death? Well, that could be one thing. They're not asking. Or it's possible they're not even children of God. They're not. God is under no obligation to feed the devil's kids. God is under obligation to take care of His kids. That is why you must be born again so you could be in the King's family. You need to be saved so that you could be part of royalty. And God takes care of His children. You know what David said? He said, I am old. I once was young. But throughout all my years, I've never seen God's children, God's seed, begging bread, nor forsaken. God takes care of His kids. I mean, what kind of father would He be if we become saved and adopted into the family of God and then He doesn't feed us? Now I'm a dad, I've got four kids. I would be worse than an infidel if I didn't feed my kids. If I didn't provide for them, I'm worse than an unbeliever, for even unbelievers know how to feed their kids. That's why Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks him bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks him fish, will he give him a snake? And then he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? God will feed us. So it is absolutely God's will to meet our physical needs. That is why we can say, give us this day our daily bread. And so if someone comes to God, he's a child of God, and he says, I need you to meet my needs to sustain me. Now, he doesn't say he'll meet all your greeds, but he does say he'll meet all your needs. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But God will answer the prayer of His child who asks for food. He will answer the prayer of His child who asks Him for forgiveness. Because the Bible says, 1 John 1:9, who can quote it? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, if a person comes to God and says, Lord, I have sinned against You and I need Your forgiveness to restore fellowship with You. Do you think God's going to say, nope, sorry, that's not for you? No, God will answer that prayer. Will God answer the prayer who asks Him for freedom from Satan's lies and traps? Absolutely. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or literally the evil one. So, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, our sins, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's God's will to answer prayers for food, forgiveness, and freedom from Satan and his lies. God will answer the prayer of a Christian who seeks after wisdom. If you need wisdom in your life, God's going to answer that one. That's why the Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So if you say like Solomon did, Lord, give me wisdom. Do you think God's going to give you wisdom? You better believe he's going to give you wisdom. Wisdom regarding trials and how to deal with them. Wisdom regarding child rearing, and boy, are children a handful, especially when you get a quiver full. Children, wisdom regarding career choice. Lord, what should I do? What school should I go to? I believe that God answered my prayer. I said, God, I want to go to Bible college, but I don't know where to go. I believe that God led me very specifically to the college that I went to. And you say, how do you know? Because he blessed me so much there. He blessed me with a wife. He blessed me with training in God's word. He blessed me with so much enjoyment of being with God's people there that I was just blessed being in Bible college. Some of you young people need to say, God, show me where to go to school. And he will. Have you made that request? Have you said, God, guide me? Boy, I'm so thankful. When we pray for wisdom regarding, when I pray for wisdom regarding church leadership or sermon preparation, I see God answers my prayer. He may do so in unique ways, but God always answers my prayer. God gives us wisdom regarding financial purchases. Should I buy this car or not? I pray about those things. If I'm going to go buy a car, I have to bathe it in prayer before I make a decision. Because every time I've made a decision in my life that was of any major proportion, I've suffered the consequences if I didn't bring it to God. But if I bathe it in prayer, God, don't let me buy this car if it's not your will. Close the door. Or you might say, Lord, don't let me buy this house if it's not your will. And you need to seek God. You need to wait on God. And by the way, you don't need to rush into making decisions. If you have to rush into something, it probably isn't of God. If God wants you to have it, God will retain it for you. You need wisdom regarding dating. Who should I date? When should I date? We need wisdom there. So if somebody says, God, I need wisdom, do you think he's going to turn them away? No, that's his will to give wisdom. Because he says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. God will absolutely, positively answer the prayer of a Christian who seeks after the spiritual well-being of one of God's children. I'm talking about intercessory prayer. When we pray on behalf of somebody else. That's why in the context in verse 16 he says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. Meaning, God, please spare his life and heal him of this problem. And he will give him life for them that sin not unto death. We'll talk about that verse next week in detail. The sin unto death. You don't want to miss that message. What is the sin unto death? The Bible here talks about how we can pray for a brother. I believe it's vital that we intercede on behalf of others. Those prayers get answered. Colossians 1 and verses 9 to 11 gives us a pattern of what we ought to pray for. Listen to what Paul said. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, meaning your faith, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You know, sometimes it's sad, but it seems hard to get somebody to pray for you unless you're either sick or out of a job. You ever notice that? If you're sick or out of a job, people will pray for you. But unless you meet those two conditions, well, he's okay. Why bother praying for him? I think that's terrible. That's implying that someone who's healthy and working doesn't need prayer. That's not true. Intercessory prayer involves praying about a about the Christian and his spiritual needs. And here in Colossians 1 verses 9 to 11, Paul tells us what he prayed for. Hey, if I can know what Paul prayed for these believers, and if he's writing this under the inspiration of the Spirit, then if I pray for the same things for Derek Holly or Steve Avery, God's going to answer that prayer. Oftentimes we pray, help Aunt Sally's broken toe. And we pray the dumbest things when there are more important prayer requests to make. When Paul prayed for them, he prayed for their spiritual well-being. He prayed that they would fully know God. You need to pray for the spiritual mind of the saints. He prayed that they would faithfully walk with God. You need to pray for the spiritual feet of the saints. He prayed that they would be fortified with strength from God. He prayed for the spiritual muscle of the saints. Hey, if you want to pray for the saints, think of it this way. Their head, their feet, and their muscle. Pray that they'll know God and all of His riches that He's blessed us with in Christ. Pray for their feet, that they'll walk right with God. Pray for their strength. And you know something? If you pray those requests, God listens to those. So we need to know God's Word in order to know how to pray. Richard DeHaan wrote in his little booklet, How to Pray God's Way, a believer is discouraged because, think about this example, perhaps you faced this, maybe you faced it this week. A believer is discouraged because fellow employees are hostile to his Christian life. And he'd like to find work, therefore, in some other place. But while he's praying about it, this statement of Christ comes to his mind. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Those words bring about a change in that believer's attitude. Even though he might still prefer another position for his own personal enjoyment, he now prays differently. He's determined to do what God wants him to do, to be what God wants him to be where God wants him to be, no matter what ridicule it might involve. So, rather than simply praying for a change in workplace, he prays now for the grace and strength to stay where he is and to be a good testimony, if that is God's will for him. You see what I'm saying? Oftentimes we pray wrong because we don't know the Scripture. God, get me out of this situation. Many say, and this is a blasphemous request, but there are some, Lord, get me out of this marriage. That's blasphemous. You ought to be saying, God, give me wisdom to know how to deal with the problems in this marriage. But we like the easy way out, the escape route, the runaway technique. So God is listening, and He's listening for biblical requests, unselfish requests. He's paying attention to the one whose heart beats with His. He's paying attention to the child of His who would ask for things that He knows would be beneficial and in no way harmful to His kids. So when we pray, we need to take into consideration God's Word. Secondly, and my points are going to be brief, don't worry about it. When we pray according to God's will, we need to take into consideration, listen, not only God's Word, but God's goodness. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, God is a good God, and He only knows how to give good gifts. God don't give no junk. Everything God gives is good. And sometimes we'll make a request to God, God, give me this. But God says, hey, you may think it's good, but I know it's not good. A lot of times we're like an immature child. Like if my little Stevie came up to me and said, Dad, could you buy me a revolver? I'll say, let me talk to Mike Rosato about that. No. And of course I'm not buying him a revolver. Now, when he's my age, if he wants to buy a gun, if it's legal to do so, which I hope it will be, and so that he might have it for protection purposes, although I believe we still need to realize we don't trust weaponry, we trust God. But right now, I'm not buying him any gun. There are a lot of things I'm not buying Stephen at this time, because I know they're not good for him. Now, they might be good for someone else, but they're not good for him. They might be good for a deer hunter, but they're not good for Stephen. And many times, due to our immaturity, we ask for things that God says, that you know what you're asking for, there's nothing sinful about it, but it's wrong for you to have. You know? And so God gives good things, and he knows what we need, and he knows when we need it. There are people who prayed and God in his goodness answered them. Abraham prayed and God delivered Lot. Jacob prayed and God caused Esau to meet him in peace. Moses prayed and Amalek was defeated and Israel was victorious. Hannah prayed definitely for a son and God heard and she received her little one called Samuel, which means asked of God. Daniel prayed and the whole prophetic panorama was open to him. Nehemiah prayed and the king's heart was turned toward the remnant of Israel and the holy city. You see, God answers prayer. He's a good God. So when we pray, we need to take into consideration God's goodness. He gives us what is good for us, what is beneficial to us because he loves us. Thirdly, praying according to God's will takes into consideration God's wisdom. You need to make your request based on God's all-knowing mind because he gives what's best for us. He only gives the best things. Not only does he give good things, he gives the best things. God's wisdom not only gives what's good, it gives what's best for our benefit and for his glory. So God knows our deepest need. I heard about a single mother praying for $2,000 in order to bring her some financial relief. God denied the request and she expressed it. Instead of giving her the money, she said God gave her a job that she could handle. Then he gave her a friend who helped her learn how to manage finances. And then in time she was able to look back and see how God did answer her request, but in a way that reflected his wisdom. So the best part is that she grew in her trust of God. So we could pray for something and God may have a different way of getting it to us because he's all wise. He knows the best ends and the best means to those ends. And it's not always God's will, let me say, to heal us physically. Wow, some of you are saying, what? What did I just hear? That's right. You're not going to hear that on a lot of these health and wealth gospels that you hear, but it is not always God's will to heal us physically. If it was, nobody would ever die. Nobody would ever die. A natural death. If it was God's will to always heal us physically, we would have the potential of never leaving this planet. That's right. But it's not God's will to always heal us physically. That is why Paul said 3 times, Lord, deliver me from this thorn in my flesh. God said no. So Paul said, okay, I will learn that in my weakness, your strength is made perfect. I will now rely on you And God, thank you for that thorn because it keeps me humble. It keeps me from depending on myself and becoming proud because of the abundance of revelations that you've given to me. And so he says, God, you've blessed me so much and I thank you for the thorn in the flesh, the physical affliction that you allow me to retain because it causes me to lean on you. God is wise. He knows what we need. Fourth, Praying according to God's will takes into consideration God's timing. You need to make your request based on God's time clock, because He gives things right at the right time. You see, my friend, praying according to God's will involves not only making a request based on His word, His goodness, and His wisdom, but also on His timing. And God may say, when you request something, yes, no, or wait, right? He may say wait. Oswald Chambers understood the way that waiting is part of prayer. And so about this subject, he said, men ought always to pray and not to lose heart, Luke 18:1. And he wrote, Jesus taught His disciples the prayer of patience. If you're right with God and God delays the answer to your prayer, don't misjudge Him. Don't think of Him as an unkind friend or an unnatural father or an unjust judge, but keep at it. Your prayer will certainly be answered, for everyone who asks receives. Pray and do not cave in. Your Heavenly Father will explain it all one day. He cannot just yet, because He's developing your character. Forget character, you might say. I want Him to grant my requests. And He says, what I'm doing far exceeds what you can see or know. Trust Me. He's right. There's something more important than us getting our request, and that is God shaping our life. Some of you in here are single, and you're saying, God, give me a wife. Amen. That's a good request. I think it's important to pray about a wife. Amen. You single people? But you know something? You say, why is God so long in delaying the answer to that request? Give me a wife or a husband. Maybe it's because God knows you're not ready yet. He's got more shaping to do in your life. He's got more sculpting to accomplish in your life. And had you become married at this point, you're not, in some way, and only God knows, you're not ready yet. But He's going to guide the right one at the right time your way. You've just got to allow Him to form the character in your life so that when she does come along, or when He does come along, you'll be emotionally, spiritually, and in every way prepared for marriage. God's timing is very important. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We need to wait on God. We need persistence, like the woman who Jesus told about, who kept coming to the judge. Relieve me of my adversary, she said. We need to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Somebody wrote a little poem. It goes like this. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered, why, God, didn't you show me? He said, you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all of my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I got up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. My friend, we've got to take those times to pray. We need the times to pray, and we need to pray throughout, without ceasing, throughout our day. Pray for your children, moms. They need your prayers. You can be praying for them while you're doing anything. Listen to this poem. It's called A Mother's Prayer. I wash the dirt from little feet, and as I wash, I pray. Lord, keep them ever pure and true to walk the narrow way. I wash the dirt from little hands, and earnestly I ask, Lord, may they ever yielded be to do the humblest task. I wash the dirt from little knees, and pray, Lord, may they be the place where victories are won and orders are sought from Thee. I scrub the clothes that soil so soon and pray, Lord, may her dress throughout eternal ages be Thy robe of righteousness. Ere many hours shall pass, I know I'll wash these hands again, and there'll be dirt upon her dress before the day shall end. But as she journeys on through life and learns of want and pain, Lord, keep her precious little heart cleansed from all sin and stain. For soap and water cannot reach where Thou alone canst see. Her hands and feet, these I can wash. I trust her heart to Thee. See, prayer does what we can't do. That's why we need to pray. We need to pray properly. And so I ask you, are your requests in harmony with God's will? If not, why not? Is it because you've neglected His word? Therefore, you don't even know what His will is. Is it because you've doubted His goodness? Or you failed to trust His wisdom? Or maybe you've been too impatient to wait and lean on His timing? My friend, we need to trust God. He's a prayer-answering God. Never forget the verse. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we shall ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Let's pray according to His will. Let's ask God to help us. Dear Father, we need You to teach us Your word so well that we will know what to pray for. And Lord, give us the patience to wait upon Your timing, for You do everything beautiful in Your time. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to realize that You're a good God, and every good and perfect gift is from above. May we know the mind of Christ, for You are all wisdom. Let us trust Your wisdom to give us what is best for us and what is best for Your glory. So, Lord, I pray that this message would ever remind us to not hastily, haphazardly, without thinking, enter Your throne room, but may we pray biblically. We pray that You would show us mighty things, great and mighty things, which line up with Your character and Your word and Your will. We praise You for teaching us this truth today. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in the room that is not yet a child of You, they are wondering why You don't answer their prayer, help them to know they must be born again first. So, Lord, I pray that You would save their soul. For the prayer You want to hear is, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. May they call out to You in that way. Thank You, Lord, for hearing us. Forgive us for being prayerless or for praying so wrongfully, for asking for things we ought not. Help us to be mighty in prayer. All of us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.